नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Dhanvantarir Bhagavan Bhatvapatyad Dvanvad Bhayadri Shabon Nirjitatma Yagyaschalokad Avataj Janantad Balo Ganat Kuroda Bashada Hindra Dhanvad May the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His incarnation as Dhanvantari relieve me from undesirable edibles and protect me from physical illness. May Lord Rishabhdev, who conquered his inner and outer senses, protect me from fear produced by the duality of heat and cold. May Yajna protect me from defamation and harm from the populace. And may Lord Balaram as Shesha protect me from envious serpents. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. To live within this material world, one must face many dangers, as described herein. For example, undesirable food poses a danger to health, and therefore one must give up such food. The Dhanvantari incarnation can protect us in this regard. Since Lord Vishnu is the super soul of all living entities, if he likes, he can save us from the Adibhautika disturbances from other living entities. Lord Balaram is the Shesha incarnation, and therefore he can save us from angry serpents or envious persons who are always ready to attack. The Personality of Godhead in his incarnation as Dhanvantari, relieve me from undesirable edibles and protect me from physical illness. May Lord Rishabhdev, who conquered his inner and outer senses, protect me from fear produced by the duality of heat and cold. Today we are reading from Canto 6 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 8, entitled The Narayan Kabach Shield, Text 18. Yesterday, we were discussing the inherent nature of this material world. Srimad Bhagavatam explains how, after Lord Brahma was born to Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, he was empowered with the purpose to create the particular universe within this existence. Of course, we understand that there are unlimited universes, and for each universe, there is a Brahma who is a creator. The first thing that Brahma creates is ignorance. Five kinds of ignorance, based on the misconception that we are this subtle and gross body. The ignorance of forgetfulness of our true identity as eternal, blissful spirit souls, full of knowledge, part and parcel of the Supreme Soul,
Krishna. Ignorant that in our service to Krishna, the soul inherently loves God. And in that love is forever intoxicated with spiritual joy. This is necessary, because without such ignorance, who would want to stay in this material world? Krishna tells in Gita, Dukalaya Mashashvatam, that this material existence is essentially a miserable place. Why? Because everything is temporary. The soul is eternal. The soul by nature, Parashya Shaktir Vedaiva Shruyate, out of the many energies of the Lord, the spirit soul is Ananda Mayobhyashat, as the Lord is. Always seeking pleasure. The nature of pleasure is to behold the infinite beauty of Krishna, to hear the sweet flute of Krishna, to smell the fragrance of the gardens of Vrindavan and the body of Krishna. Krishna is the source of all pleasure. But when we forget Krishna, we seek pleasure through the temporary objects of this world. But because our longing is eternal and the objects of the senses are temporary, ultimately, to the degree we enjoy something, we suffer when it is frustrated. And it is inevitably frustrated. Some people think that if I just do good karma, I'll never have to suffer, because everything is based on karma. No doubt, bad karma accelerates and intensifies suffering. But let us examine those people with the very best karma. Abrama bhuvanaloka punar avartanorjana mamupetyato kontaya punar janmana vidyate. Krishna says, from the highest planet, Brahmaloka, do you know what type of good karma it takes to go to Brahmaloka? It takes good karma just to get a good human birth in this life. What to speak of Swargaloka, the heavenly planets? And what better karma to be in Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka? But Satyaloka is the supreme highest planet in this material existence. But Krishna declares, from the highest planet, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest, the most sinful planet, Patalaloka, they're all places of misery. Because everything is temporary. Adi Daivaka, Adi Bhautaka, Adi Atmaka, they're present everywhere within this material existence. Just like in a cloth. There are so many crisscross weaving of threads within the cloth. You don't see each thread, but it's the substance of it. Similarly, this material existence, it appears to be something, but threaded and sewn within every aspect of material existence is the miseries caused by the body and mind, the miseries caused by other living beings, and the miseries caused by natural disturbances. In the story of Bhishma, he's laying on the battlefield of Kurukshetra filled with arrows. He's meeting Yudhisthira and his brothers, the Pandavas, and he's marveling over Krishna. Why? Why Yudhisthira Maharaj, who is the emblem of religion, who has never even thought a lie, who has never done anything impious or immoral, who's a great, loving devotee of Krishna, who is a dear friend of Krishna, why he and his brothers are suffering. Inconceivable. Even the greatest philosophers, even the greatest scholars and rishis, they cannot fathom this question. It is due to the inevitable power of time that everyone must suffer in this world. And Srila Prabhupada explains, even the most pious people must suffer. Even the devotees of the Lord must suffer. You cannot escape. The difference is this. When devotees of the Lord endure such suffering, they turn to Krishna with faith. They purify their hearts and awaken the permanent solution of love of God. Whereas other persons, they just continuously try to solve their problems through material adjustments. But the problem is, it's like trying to dry yourself off when you're in an ocean. People can keep throwing you towels, but as long as you're in the ocean, as soon as you're dry, you're wet. It's where we are. So real spiritual life does not teach us how to make a better situation by which we can be happy in this world. Because there isn't any real happiness that is not on the verge of so many potential sufferings. Spiritual life teaches us how to transcend this world. Even in the Bible, Jesus said, be in this world, but not of this world. That means to transcend this world. To not be seeking the pleasures of this world, but to be seeking the treasures of the kingdom of God. To be seeking happiness in giving happiness to Krishna. As long as we have selfish desires, we must suffer, because they will always be frustrated. To be transcendental to this world amongst the impersonalists, it means to extinguish all desires, to extinguish one's own identity, because it is the cause of so many afflictions. But on a higher transcendental platform of perfect happiness, we can be happy when we no longer have selfish desires, but when all of our desires are transformed for the pleasure of the Lord. Param drishtva nivartate. Although the miseries of material existence may be all around us, if we're fixed in the beauty and the sweetness of Krishna and wanting to give pleasure to Krishna, the soul experiences unlimited happiness. Despite what goes on in this world, we have to do the needful in this world to keep body and soul together, to keep, as far as possible, morality and cleanliness and so forth. Krishna tells Arjuna, the Vedas mainly deal with the three modes of material nature. You should transcend them all and be established in the self. Sometimes devotees become confused. Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to him or her? They're devotees. Why they're dying young? Why they're suffering terribly? Why? Why should I be a devotee? The same thing's happening to everybody else. What's the difference? The difference is, as a devotee is passing through the inevitable situations of this world, he or she is becoming enlightened by turning to God, by rendering service to the Lord, by hearing the glories of the Lord, by associating with devotees of the Lord, and by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Yes, everyone wants to make this world a better place. But really, to make this world a better place means to transcend this world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught us what he prayed to God. Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagati shakamaye mama janamani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahita kitvai. I do not want those things everybody else wants because I know what is inherent within them. Suffering. I don't want beautiful women. I don't want masses of wealth. I do not want fame and followers. I do not want great scholarship. I do not even want liberation. I only want to serve you, my Lord, unconditionally, birth after birth after birth. In this prayer today, which is the verses of the Narayana Kavacha, and in all the verses of this beautiful prayer, we find crying out for protection from danger. Padam padam yadvipadam natesham. This is an eternal reality within a temporary world. How can something be eternal within something temporary? Because prakriti is eternal. Prakriti is the external energy of the Lord. There is the internal spiritual energy, there is the marginal energy, and there is the external material energy, the antaranga shakti, bahiranga shakti, and jiva shakti. The external energy of the Lord is eternal, but all manifestations within it are temporary. So the principle, which is eternal, of prakriti is padam padam yadvipadam natesham, that there's danger at every step. And we see it. Whoever we are, whether we're riding in an ambassador or a Mercedes-Benz, at any moment, one of those big lorries can just crash right into you. The New York Times said, according to their survey, 90% of the truck drivers in India are intoxicated. Now, that's dangerous. In the West, if you get caught intoxicated while driving, you lose your license for years. You can go to jail because it is so dangerous. But at least there, the trucks work. Here, these trucks are just black smoke pouring out of it. And most of the people back there are drunk. And they're huge trucks, usually overloaded. So whether you're in a little Maruti ambassador or whether you're in a big Rolls-Royce or Mercedes-Benz, if one of those trucks hit you, you may be dead. You may lose your family. It's not a matter of money protecting you. Disease? Disease isn't only for the poor. Disease is universal. What to speak of how other people deal with you. Some of the most famous people in the world become hermits because they can't tolerate being with people. They're trying to climb to the top through their profession, thinking fame will be something that is so exhilarating to my life. But once they get there, people are always trying to exploit you, always trying to use you. And because you're famous, if people try to drag you down or blaspheme you or criticize you, it becomes very prestigious for them. It becomes world news. Fame is miserable. Many of these very famous people, they hide themselves. They don't even want to see people. Just like George Harrison told Shyamasundar Prabhu, he was in a restaurant. And somebody just, he's trying to eat a sandwich. And somebody ran up to him and grabbed the sandwich off his plate. It's a souvenir. Sometimes they would grab their clothes and start ripping their clothes off for souvenirs. Now, this may sound very romantic from some of you, but to try to live in that situation? To them, it's such an opulence. Some people, I was talking to a relative of one famous person, when they want to walk out in the street to go to a restaurant or something, they have to disguise themselves. And still, they're recognized. Now, for them, it is a great opulence to just be a nobody and just walk around and not be bothered. But yet, Maya Devi, she has the worm on every hook to tempt you. Just take this hook and be happy. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is saying that all of these things have the hook of suffering within them. You cannot escape. The rich, the poor, the pious, the impious, everyone who is in material existence must undergo eternal time. That was Bhishma Dev's conclusion. But those who turn to God, like the Pandavas, they find the ultimate inner happiness, even in this world and beyond. In these prayers, the demigods, who are really wealthy and really handsome and really powerful and really famous, they have the six opulences, not always renunciation. They have five opulences. Far beyond anybody in this world could. But look at them. They're helpless. They've lost everything. Because of one person's offense, everybody had to lose everything. It's not Vayu and Chandra and Surya. They didn't make any offenses. But because Indra made offense, they all lost their abodes, they lost their service, they lost their wealth, they lost everything. What is our position? They're guaranteed a very long life. In this earth planet, there's no guarantee. But yet the demigods are here learning this prayer, and they are going to chant this prayer with great desperate feeling for protection. And within these prayers, many of the prime sufferings of this world that endanger us are being listed, and who we can turn to help us in that situation. The first in text 18 is, may the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his incarnation as Dhanvantari relieve me from undesirable edibles and protect me from physical illness. Physical illness. We don't know. It's like our dear friend John, the Manhattan musician, Professor John. After enjoying a beautiful drama, he bowed down, and a little child was next to him, so he tried to bow in such a way that he didn't hurt the child. And he crashed down on his knee, and now he's on crutches. Very great pain. He wasn't expecting that. How many times do all of us bow down? Even when you're bowing down to God, there's danger. What to speak of anything else? That's the nature of this world. It's unbelievable. It's believable, but unbelievable. There's so many people, sicknesses, disease. Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Just go and do your budge in there for some time and see what's coming in and out. Throughout the world, bigger hospitals. But there's never enough to heal the suffering. Now the demigods, they're praying to Dhanvantari, the Supreme Lord, who emerged from the ocean of milk with a pot of nectar. He was the founder of the original medical science in this universal creation, Ayurveda. Now today there are so many types of allopathy, homeopathy, naturopathy, Ayurveda, and so many other pathies, psychopathy. But the origin is Ayurveda. It was created by God himself. Yes, you have decided by your free will to be in this world where there are so many sufferings. You decide by your free will to stay in this world. It's a place of birth, old age, disease, and death. So here is the medicines to heal you. Now in the Ayurveda, it's not just physical medicines. And in the olden days, the herbs of Ayurveda were so powerful, far more powerful than any of the allopathic drugs of today. They really actually worked. Today, Ayurveda, sometimes we really don't know if they're working or not. But they actually worked. But Ayurveda teaches not only when you're sick what to take, but an entire lifestyle to keep you healthy. And the basic foundation of that lifestyle is devotion to God, faith in God, which brings inner peace and inner happiness. One of the main causes for disease in this age of Kali is anxiety, envy, and fear. It has a massive effect on the physical body. So we have to be in a healthy mind to have a healthy body. Bajahure mana sri nanda nandana abhaya charana ravindare. Fear is anxiety. Fear of death. Fear of losing our reputation. Fear of losing our wealth. Fear of losing our health. Fear of losing our loved ones. Fear of losing my abilities. So many fears. Fear creates anxiety. Anxiety causes disease. So the Vedic literature, Ayurveda is part of that, teaches us, my dear mind, just worship the lotus feet of Sri Nanda Nandana Krishna. only then can you be fearless. Because in the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, we find the light that dispels all the darkness of ignorance. All fear is due to ignorance. We're eternal. The soul is indestructible. It cannot be wetted by water. It cannot be withered by the wind. It cannot be cut to pieces by any weapon. It cannot even be touched by all-powerful, inevitable time. In taking shelter of Krishna, we become fearless. That is real good health. And even if we suffer physical ailments, we have seen it many times. Our little Stoka Krishna Prabhu, only 34 years old, ravaged with cancer. Just married 2 years before. While he was on his deathbed, his wife gave birth to a beautiful little baby. Paralyzed from the waist down. No cure. On the verge of death. He never asked, why is this happening to me? No, he was asking, why is God so kind to me? In these 34 years, so many opportunities to serve devotees, so many opportunities to hear Prabhupada's words, so many opportunities to chant the holy names. I didn't deserve it. Why is God doing this to me? Why is he so merciful? And he was smiling up until the end. He was smiling blissfully. I saw people coming into his room who had very, very robust, good health, who had lots of money, nice family, everything, but they weren't smiling. And if they were, it was not like Stoka Krishna Prabhu. They were full of anxieties. He was free of anxieties. Why? Because with a grateful heart, he surrendered to Krishna. So we may ask, why is such a nice boy dying at such a young age in such a horrible way? But if we look deeper into the situation, we can see, because he is such a nice boy and such a good devotee, he's going back to Godhead. He's showing the whole world what real integrity is about. And there are so many examples like this. Whether you live 100 years or 34 years, in the light of eternity, there's not much difference. Shukadeva Goswami said, better one moment of full consciousness of God than a long, long life. 7,000 years, trees live in the redwood forests of California. Is that great? Greatness is how we utilize every moment of life. Greatness is in our connection to the all great. Krishna is supremely great. When we are connected to Krishna, by his mercy we are great. That is the secret of all secrets. As Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport, Lord Balaram is the Shesha incarnation, and therefore he can save us from angry serpents or envious persons who are always ready to attack. Hare Krishna. Always ready to attack. Now, angry serpents, sometimes if you live in the city, you think you're escaping. We have our nice Govardhan farm community in Wada. And some devotees, they're a little afraid to go there because there are snakes. Yes? But actually, any agricultural field of India has snakes. There's not any more snakes. There's probably less snakes. But there are snakes, because that's the nature of fields. And when you're in a field, there is the potential that a snake can strike. And usually that means death at the least expected moment, whoever you are. The snake does not ask you for your educational qualifications. The snake does not ask what your bank balance is. The snake does not ask whether you have wife and children to support or not. Indiscriminately, they strike. Now, Sheshanaga is the best of all snakes. We pray to him to protect us from these little snakes. So you live in the city, and you're thinking, there's not so many snakes around here, I'm safe. But Srila Prabhupada explains there are human snakes who are far more dangerous than reptile snakes. If you see, within this world, the cause of deaths, all over the world, how many people are killed by snakes and how many people are killed by people? Huh? So which is more dangerous? How many people are killed in a city where there are no reptiles, and how many people are killed in the agricultural fields where there are? I'm sure the statistics will favor the first. Once I was in Chicago at the Lincoln Park Zoo, and there's one house with the most dangerous animals. There was tigers behind bars, leopards behind bars, cobras behind bars. So many wild, dangerous animals, panthers behind bars. And you're going around around the room, you begin at one point, and then at the very end, there's a big sign. It says, the most dangerous creature on earth. And you look through the bars, there's a mirror. Leopards aren't creating nuclear bombs. Panthers aren't having genocide against whole ethnic groups of people. It's human beings. And there's always danger. Can you run from it? People always are envious and want to attack. It's not just a matter of karma. It's a matter of being in this material world. Even the greatest personalities. Prabhupada said, Jesus Christ, he was crucified. What did he do? He just taught people to love God. He was blasphemed. He was beaten. Haridas Thakur. And actually, with Jesus, it was his own people who condemned him. Thakur Haridas. What did he do? He was the well-wisher of every living being. He did not have any negativity in his heart toward anyone. He simply wanted to love and serve every living being in this world. And his own people, from his own race, were sentencing him to death. And even many, many of the Hindus. He was a devotee of Krishna. He was broadcasting the holy names of the God, of the Supreme Lord of the Vedas. And the Brahmins are meant to be the upholders of the truth of the Vedas. You would think the Brahmins would be exhilarated with bliss to see Haridas Thakur transforming the most atheistic, sinful people to Vaishnavas. But they hated him. Many wanted to destroy him because he was more popular than them. They were envious. If Haridas would have just stayed low-key, nobody would have cared. But because he gained prominence, they wanted to destroy him. They blasphemed him. They went to the government to punish him. And he was beaten in 22 marketplaces. Before that, Ramchandra Khan. He was envious. He tried to destroy him. He sent a prostitute so that his name would be ruined forever. Did he have bad karma? No. But Thakur Haridas, whatever happened, whether Ramchandra Khan tried to create a situation to blaspheme his name forever, or whether the Qazi who wanted to murder him through a torturous death, Haridas held no negativity toward anyone. The very people who were beating him to death, he prayed to God for only one benediction. Forgive them and give them love. Give them spiritual perfection. That is Thakur Haridas. Prahlad Maharaj, simply because he was following the instructions of his spiritual master to always remember Krishna, his own father. It wasn't like a demon coming from outer space. His own father was trying to murder him and destroy him. Srila Prabhupada gives examples of the dangers of this world, of envious people. The president, John F. Kennedy, gave his life for his nation. Was his own countrymen killed him. Mahatma Gandhi, on the basis of nonviolence, he endured so many difficulties. Again and again, he spent years in prison trying to free the Indians from the British rule. And after he did it, a Brahmin, Indian, of his own country, shot him dead. It wasn't some demon from outer space. It was one of the people that he gave his life to help. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Gaudiya Vaishnavism was so much decaying with Sahajism and materialism. And he was transforming the most intelligent men and women in all of India to be Vaishnavas, establishing centers all over the subcontinent, publishing books of the Goswamis like never before in history. But when he and his devotees went to the temple, to the Goswamis' temples in Vrindavan, they locked the doors and threw stones on him. His own people. More than anyone else in modern history. He's promoting the books of the Goswamis, printing them, publishing, distributing them, and convincing people to follow the Goswamis. And in the Goswamis' own temples, the Goswamis' own descendants, they lock them out. They throw stones. And they blaspheme him. And even some of them made conspiracies to murder him. with Srila Prabhupada. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his dream, his wish, which was that of his father, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, was to fulfill Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's prophecy that the holy name of Krishna be chanted all over the world. Nityananda Prabhu, wherever he went, he prayed people understand the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada established Gaur Nitai deities in practically every city in the world, Radha Krishna deities. More Bhagavad Gitas that were ever distributed in more language than in the history of this planet, Srila Prabhupada arranged, all with the Gaudiya Vaishnav Siddhanta, according to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And tens and thousands of people from all over the world. It was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's dream being filled. And yet, many of Srila Prabhupada's own godbrothers, his inner spiritual family, were blaspheming him and even trying to stop any progress from his movement to spread. Trying to forbid them from getting any land in Mayapur. Many of his godbrothers, no doubt, were wonderful well-wishers. But some of his greatest opposition were his own people. Was that his bad karma? No. It was Krishna making these, allowing these people to do what they do just to glorify Srila Prabhupada's heroic devotion for all time to come. We have here Bhavananda Prabhu. In Prabhupada's last days in Vrindavan, he heard how there was a major attack on our temple in Mayapur. People were coming with weapons, with guns, to break the deities, to kill. And he fought to protect Prabhupada's temple. And the police took the side of the aggressors. Srila Prabhupada got the news that Bhavananda Prabhu was put in chains and dragged through the streets as a criminal. What did Srila Prabhupada do when he heard that? He wept tears that my devotee is willing to go through all of this humiliation, suffering, and danger just to serve me. Srila Prabhupada expressed his eternal debt to this disciple. So similarly, when we undergo the difficulties of material existence and remain faithful to Krishna, or spiritual master, how much of their heart's mercy we receive. Yes, there are envious people in this world. History shows it. Why did Adolf Hitler kill so many millions and millions of Jews? Nothing except envy. That's all. You're envious of somebody. You're threatened by somebody. You promote all kinds of propaganda. As they say, give a dog a bad name and hang it. Then you turn the world against them and you destroy them. Envy. But there's a problem here. Because the only reason anybody comes to this material world in the first place is due to envy. And the only reason anyone stays in this material world is because of envy. So we're thinking, that this world is a nice place? Everyone, except the very, very advanced spiritual devotees of the Lord, is potentially envious of anybody else. We come to this world because we want to be enjoyers, we want to be controllers, we want to be proprietors. That is Krishna's position. We come to this world because we're envious of God. And every living being is part and parcel of God. Therefore, we are potentially envious of anybody or everybody. It's just a matter of circumstances that awaken that. Here in India, even amongst some of the best, most wealthy, successful families who have millions of dollars or billions of dollars, the children are worst enemies. Yes? The father's making money so that the children will be happy, right? But it doesn't always work that way. You make money for your children are happy, but there's nothing that hurts the father or mother more than hatred between the children. Yes? Can you believe how that must hurt the parents? When their children hate each other, trying to destroy each other? So they have all this money, and then they start fighting over the money. And they become lifelong enemies. The only time they see each other is in the courts. Not even willing to speak a word to each other. Promoting all kinds of propaganda against each other. Brothers and sisters. This is not uncommon. It's becoming uncommon not to be like that as Kali Yuga progresses. Look at Aurangzeb. He was so envious. He killed his own brother. He imprisoned his own father so that he could have power. And he was envious, we saw in that drama. He was envious of the Govinda temple. It was so high and so beautiful. Destroy it. He was envy of the Adi Keshava temple in Mathura. So many millions of people coming there, so beautiful, so much devotion. Destroy it and kill them. It's not in the name of religion. It's a name of envy. Envy is such a deep-seated, seething anarta within the heart. And Krishna tells Arjuna in Gita, you can understand this message because you're non-envious. If you're envious, you cannot even understand the Bhagavad Gita. You cannot even understand the crystal clear commentaries of Srila Prabhupada. We see that people can take Prabhupada's purports and twist them in so many ways, and believe it. To be in a place where everyone is envious to different degrees, and according to how they're incited by different circumstances, sometimes they like you, but the next minute, the very person who likes you can be your enemy. Husbands and wives, best friends. Not only do they sometimes break up, they sometimes kill each other. Take each other to courts. Try to destroy each other. I was told the other day, one very, very, very famous person marries a young lady. They're in love for a while. But now, all over the newspapers, this lady is just saying the most horrible things about the person. He's never gotten such blasphemy and such horrible, horrible press in his life. And it's all coming from his beloved, Harivo. Srila Prabhupada said, this movement cannot be disturbed from the forces without. It can only be disturbed from the forces within. which means what? Either not following the regulative principles or envy amongst each other. Fratricidal wars. Here we are learned to pray to Lord Balaram to protect us from angry snakes and envious humans. And that presentation in the zoo is very, very instructive. Because we always want to say he's envious, she's envious, they're envious, and everybody else is envious. Therefore, they're causing all problems. But when you look through the bars, you see a mirror. You don't see everybody else. You only see one person. Me. Everybody else must be wrong. Everybody else must be an illusion. Everybody else must be envious. But the solution? Cure the envy within yourself. As they say, when you point one finger toward another, there are three pointing toward you. Srila Prabhupada was not impressed when people would find faults with others. He was impressed by people who tried to remove their own faults. It's easy to find faults in others. Any coward could do so. Any fool could do so. And even if the faults are true, what's so great about talking about them? Some people, they concoct faults about other people. Some people actually see point faults in people and broadcast them. Anybody could do either one. Doesn't please Krishna. It could only impress envious people. The Bhagavatam says, men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, they're very much impressed by people who are bigger, better dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. But what is the solution? How to clean up the envy within my own heart? How to resolve the problem of lust and anger and pride and greed that is within me? If you can't do it to yourself, you cannot help anybody else. And this fault-finding propensity is just Maya's very vicious weapon to just keep diverting your attention away from what you have to do in this human life to become Krishna conscious. You have to clean up your own heart. You have to clean up your own life. Finding faults in others is simply nothing but a major distraction. We could learn from the faults of others. But our purpose, physician, heal thyself. Therefore, we have Srila Prabhupada's books, which are teaching us these principles at every moment. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the reason I find faults in other people is because I am honeycombed with hundreds and thousands of faults myself. Because factually, the world is a mirror of your own consciousness. And that mirror is behind the bars of material existence. Therefore, we need protection. Manoho Narayan Kavacha, with all the various great divine personalities that are being invoked to protect us from all the different types of difficulties in this world, they are all present
within the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the greatest of all mantras. The day he was leaving Navadvip for Katwa to take sannyas, actually the day before, his best devotees were all coming to meet him, giving him gifts, giving him garlands. Every time a devotee gave him a garland, he would take off the garland and put it on that devotee. Then somebody else would give him a garland. He would take off their garland and give it back to them by putting it on their neck. This was going on all afternoon. Just loving exchanges. People were bringing different preparations for him. And then Lord Chaitanya gave a message for everybody. Always chant the name of Krishna. Never neglect to chant the name of Krishna in any situation you're in. Whether you're in difficulty or whether you're in prosperity. Whether you're awake or asleep or eating or drinking or anything else you're doing, along with it, chant the name of Krishna. Krishna is our supreme mother and father. A son or daughter who does not honor with gratitude the mother and father is sinful. Krishna is our eternal mother and father. If we do not show our gratitude to him, we are sinful. He's giving us everything. And how to show our gratitude? Krishna tells us how to show our gratitude. Satatam kirtiyanto mam, to chant his holy names. Always. It's Krishna's word. He said, this is the Maha Mantra. It is the greatest of all great mantras. All other mantras are included in this mantra. And it is the essence of all mantras. So all of you together in every situation, raise your arms and loudly chant the holy name. Is there any questions? Yes, Gorbani Prabhu. Someone will send microphone for you. Even Krishna, Shishupal, was envious of him. Blaspheming him constantly. Kamsa was so envious of Krishna. He was just a little baby and Kamsa was trying to murder him. Due to envy and fear. And the Shamantaka, Krishna was accused of being a criminal. And it was spreading throughout Dwarka. So no one should think that they are exempt from the Adiatmaka, Adidaivaka, and Adibhautaka, the difficulties of this world. But a devotee, tatenu kampam susamiksha mano bunjana evatmikritam vipagam, even when these difficulties come, a devotee with folded hands says, Krishna, thank you. Because I know this is ultimately for my good. All I have to do is bow down with a grateful heart and chant your holy names. That is the price of liberation. Yes, Gorvani Prabhu.
Thank you very much for such a nice class.
Thank you for your kind words.
Earlier, you were talking about how the impersonalist version of the philosophy says, rid yourself of all desire, and then you'll find happiness or peace. In America, as you know, it's Buddhism and that that vein of philosophy has become very, very popular and prominent. I'm trying to understand why many people are finding peace and finding some sort of solace in that philosophy, and what it is about maybe the way that we're practicing our Krishna consciousness or presenting Krishna consciousness that's not allowing them to see that same refuge or peace that's easily applied to their modern lives.
Haribo. There is no doubt that Lord Buddha and the Buddhist philosophy, when actually followed properly, meditation, study, it gives us a sense of inner peace. To the point, nirvana, where there's total peace. Just like when somebody's dead, they say, rest in peace. When you have no more desires, when you have no more sense of an identity, when everything is extinguished, there's complete peace. Yes? It is the nihilistic conception of peace, but there is peace there. But there's something higher than peace. Love. And that they do not have the understanding. Because love is not something which is a temporary family or romantic oriented experience in this world. We are speaking about eternal love. The love between the soul and God. In order to find that love, it is necessary see, if we were Buddhists, this would not bother us at all. We wouldn't even hear it, because it's not there. But because we're so eager to hear about Krishna, it bothers us. But that bothering is a higher pleasure than not being bothered. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and soul. The first commandment is to love God. Yes? And in Krishna consciousness, prema pumartha mahan. Higher than economic development, sense gratification, religiosity, or even liberation, whether it be mukti or nirvana, higher than that is prema. Or love, divine love. Now, even in this world, what is a more ecstatic experience? To be madly in love with somebody who's fulfilling all your desires? Or to be peaceful? Should we take a vote? Most of us don't have either one. But which is a more ecstatic, intense experience? Love or peace? Bilva Mangala Thakur, he said that in loving Krishna with service is the peace, mukti, nirvana, all that stuff is automatically included. It's the highest peace. Now, sometimes when people see in their lives a conception of God being wrathful and punishing and devastating, and when people see that in the name of that God, people become terrorists, people become fundamentalists, people become fanatics, and that's the only real conception of God they've ever known, sometimes intelligent people who are sick of terrorism, sick of fanaticism, sick of sectarianism, sick of all this fear of the wrathful God. They'd rather just, let's go to a place where there is no God. And it's an ancient system with many great saints who have found peace without a God. It is attractive, isn't it? Not really, but under those circumstances, it could be attractive. Because of abuse of God's name, abuse of God's position, by so many generations and generations of people all around us, and so much hypocrisy in the name of God, and so much unrest and sin in the name of God. Yes, many people of the West are looking for an alternative where they don't have to have this sectarian conception of God, and they can actually experience some inner peace. And many very intelligent, thoughtful people come to that conclusion. How could we blame them? But what Srila Prabhupada has come to the West to do is to introduce the full-fledged information about who God really is, beyond sectarianism, beyond fundamentalism. Look at the saints of the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, their compassion toward living beings, and the conception of God as the supreme lover, the supreme friend, the all-attractive one. If people are not coming to our society, the reason is no one's fault but our own. We are not presenting Krishna as he is in such a way that is accessible to the people of the world. Srila Prabhupada knew, according to time, place, and circumstance, how to present Krishna as he is. But unfortunately, so many devotees today, due to inner fighting or their own problems, they're hardly trying to give Krishna to others. Sometimes they're just more interested in fighting amongst themselves than giving Krishna to others. And if we have the wrong conceptions of Krishna, and we're becoming judgmental toward everybody else, who's going to listen? But if we just present Krishna consciousness as Prabhupada presented Krishna consciousness, and actually make the sacrifice as Prabhupada did to make it available to them, Krishna is all attractive. There's no doubt many, 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 so many millions of people will come to become devotees on one level or another, if we just present Krishna as he is. Just like Srila Prabhupada explained, if you're eating bad food and you're always getting sick, you'll be more peaceful if you fast. But it's more satisfying to eat the right foods. Yes? So because people are so frustrated with all the misconceptions of God and the hypocrisy in the name of God, people don't want God. They want peace. But if we give them the beautiful, all-attractive feature of Krishna, the supreme God, who's the source of all other incarnations, then yes, so many people, their hearts will be transformed. Srila Prabhupada said, in the Western world especially, through cultural conquest, we can change people's hearts. Through literature, through poetry, through music, through dance, through architecture. Through all these beautiful cultural arts, we can just give Krishna center it, focus it around devotion to Krishna. It will transform people's hearts. Srila Prabhupada told George Harrison, "You're a Beatle. You're a wonderful musician. Don't give up music. Just play for Krishna." And how many millions of people heard Krishna's names? And one time I was in a room in Philadelphia, and somebody was quoting somebody from India who was saying that the Beatles were the four horsemen of Satan. And I asked those, and the devotees all there accepted it. I said, "I just have a question for you." There was about 25 people in the room. How many of you, your first contact with Krishna was through George Harrison? Out of the 25 people, 22 people raised their hand. Now, George Harrison was simply the instrument of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada gave him Krishna's name, and Prabhupada instructed him to promote it through music. So in the Western world, we have to utilize our God-given intelligence, purify our own lives, and work together through music, through literature, through dance, through beautiful temples. Another part of culture is interrelationships with others. That's a cultured person is a person who knows how to be respectful to others. If we just focus our culture around Krishna, then yes, so many sincere, intelligent people will be attracted to Krishna's love. And then they don't have to annihilate all their desires. They'll understand how beautiful God really is. Does that answer your question? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Go Premanandi.